This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. What to do when you discover toxic traits in yourself? A practical process for confronting the patterns that damage your relationships. In short, you can identify and change toxic traits in yourself by following a clear, honest process that moves from recognition through accountability to sustained behavioural change. Name the specific pattern, not a vague sense of wrongdoing. Own the impact without softening it with explanations. Practice concrete replacement behaviours, one at a time. Definition: toxic traits yourself refers to habitual patterns of behaviour that you personally exhibit, which cause repeated harm to others or to your relationships. These are not one-off mistakes. They are recognisable, recurring responses that erode trust, damage connection, and push people away over time. I once watched a man lose his entire management team over 18 months. One by one, they transferred, resigned, or went quiet. He was not a cruel person. He was not even aware of what he was doing, but he dismissed people mid-sentence, took credit quietly, and exploded under pressure in ways nobody ever challenged him on. When the last good person walked out, he finally asked you what had gone wrong. The answer was hard to say, and harder to hear. You have been the problem all along. Discovering toxic traits in yourself is one of the heaviest moments you will face. Not because you are a bad person, but because you have likely caused real harm to people who trusted you, and you did it without knowing. That is a difficult place to stand. This article will give you a direct, usable process for what to do next, how to identify what their actual patterns are, how to own them honestly, and how to begin changing them in ways that other people will actually notice and trust. Understanding and managing emotional intelligence in feedback conversations will support you throughout this process. Why seeing your own toxic traits is genuinely difficult. Here is the truth of it: toxic traits almost always feel like virtues from the inside. The person who controls every conversation believes they're being thorough. The person who dismisses others' concerns thinks they're cutting through unnecessary drama. Defensiveness feels like self-protection. Criticism feels like honesty. The emotional reward the behavior provides is precisely why you cannot see it clearly. There is also the matter of context. You have access to your own intentions, your own pressures, and your own history. Other people only see the impact. You know why you snapped. They only know that you did. This gap between intent and impact is where toxic patterns live, sheltered and invisible to the person causing them. And then there is the social layer. Most people around you will not tell you directly. They will withdraw, compensate, work around you, or simply leave. The feedback rarely arrives as a clear signal. It arrives as a slow cooling of relationships, which is much harder to read. What must be true before you begin? Before any step in this process will work, one thing has to be in place. You must be genuinely willing to find something you do not want to find. Not willing to feel better about yourself. Not willing to find that the problem is smaller than you feared. Genuinely willing to discover that you've been causing harm, perhaps for years, and to sit with that without collapsing or defending. If you are reading this to confirm that other people are the real problem, this process will not help you. It is built for the person who has already sensed something is wrong and wants to face it squarely. That takes real courage. It also requires a basic commitment to psychological safety in your own internal process. You have to make it safe to tell yourself the truth. The six-step process for confronting and changing toxic traits in yourself. Step 1. Identify the pattern, not just the incident. When something goes wrong in a relationship or a conversation, most people examine the incident. The argument, the meeting, the specific moment. That is not where toxic traits live. You are looking for the recurring shape across incidents. Ask yourself, what is the common thread in the complaints I hear? What do different people, in different contexts, seem to react to in the same way? If your partner, your colleague, and your sibling have all, at some point, said you never listen, that is not three separate problems. That is one pattern with three witnesses. Write down the three most consistent points of friction in your relationships. Look for what you did, not what they did. The pattern you are searching for will appear in your column, not theirs. Step 2. Name the behavior with precision. Vague self-criticism is useless. I can be difficult, or I'm not always easy to deal with, gives you nothing to work with. You need a specific behavioral description, not I get defensive, but. When someone points out a mistake I made, I immediately explain why it happened before acknowledging that they are upset. Not I can be controlling, but I override other people's decisions when I think they are wrong, even when it is not my decision to make. The more precise the description, the more directly you can address it. Precision is not about self-punishment. It is about having something concrete enough to actually change. Consider how passive-aggressive behavior often masks itself in vague forms. The same principle applies to recognizing your own patterns. Step 3. Understand what triggers the behavior. Every toxic pattern has a trigger-specific type of situation that reliably activates the behavior. Yours might be any kind of criticism, however gentle. It might be situations where you feel out of control. It might be high-stakes moments where your fear of failure overwhelms your capacity for consideration. You do not need to resolve the trigger to change the behavior, but you do need to recognize it, because that recognition is your early warning signal. When you feel the trigger, you are seconds away from the pattern. Ask yourself, where was I? What was happening? And what did I feel just before I acted in the way I now regret? Do this with 3 separate incidents and look for what they share. Step 4. Make a direct, specific apology. Before you can build anything new, you need to clear the ground. That means going back to people you have harmed and making a real apology. A real apology has 3 parts and no excuses. Name what you did. Acknowledge the effect it had on them. Commit to a specific change. It sounds like this. I've been interrupting you in team meetings and talking over your ideas. I know that has made it harder for you to contribute, and it has not been fair. I am working on that, and I want you to know I am taking it seriously. Do not add, but I was under a lot of pressure, or I was not meaning to. Those sentences undo the apology. They redirect the conversation back to your experience, which is exactly the move that made the situation worse in the first place. Building trust through honest communication starts with this kind of direct accountability. Step 5. Design a replacement behavior. You cannot simply stop a toxic behavior. You have to replace it with something specific, or the old pattern will rush back in under pressure. For each behavior you named in step 2, write down what you will do instead when the trigger fires. Be as concrete as possible. If your pattern is dismissing people's concerns, your replacement might be, when someone raises a concern, I will ask one clarifying question before I respond. That is a real, doable instruction. It is specific enough to practice and simple enough to remember when you are under stress. Do not try to replace more than one behavior at a time. Attempting 3 changes simultaneously produces none. Pick the pattern that causes the most damage to the people around you and work on that one first. Step 6. Invite ongoing feedback and commit to consistency. Change that only you can see is not yet change. Other people need to observe it across enough time and enough situations before they will trust it. That takes longer than most people expect, and the temptation to ask, have I changed enough yet, is itself a form of the problem. Instead, create a simple, low-pressure way for others to give you honest feedback. You might say, I'm working on a specific pattern, and I would genuinely value it if you told me when you see me doing it. That invitation is a form of accountability. It also signals to the people around you that you're serious, which is itself a step toward rebuilding respect. If you're working within a team context, reading about how emotional intelligence shapes team synergy will give you a clear picture of what consistent, trustworthy behavior looks like from the outside. Adapting this process for high-conflict relationships. In a high-conflict setting, where the dynamic is already damaged or where the other person carries their own difficult patterns, this process needs adjustment. You may not be safe to make an apology directly, or the other person may use your vulnerability against you. In those situations, do not skip the internal steps. Steps 1 through 3 are entirely your own work and do not require the other person's involvement. You can still identify the pattern, name it precisely, and understand your triggers without exposing yourself before the relationship is ready. For the apology step, choose lower stakes relationships first. Practice the language with people who are more likely to receive it well. This is not avoidance. It is building the skill where the ground is more solid, so you're genuinely prepared when you face the harder conversation. And if the relationship has fractured too far for direct repair, the work is still worth doing. You're changing the pattern for the next relationship, not just the current one. Empathy bridges in team communication can help you understand what the other person experienced, even when direct reconciliation is not possible. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling books 8 Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and How People Remember You. Get your copy at imonblickforn.com. Now, back to the article. Where people go wrong when they try to change toxic traits. The mistake: stopping at awareness without changing behaviour. Why it happens: recognising a toxic pattern feels like progress, and emotionally it is. But recognition alone produces no change that others can observe. What to do instead? Within 48 hours of identifying a pattern, write the specific replacement behaviour and identify the first situation where you can practice it. The mistake: apologising and then repeating the behaviour within days. Why it happens: the apology creates a temporary sense of resolution, and the relief makes you less vigilant. What to do instead? Treat the apology as the beginning of a commitment, not the end of a problem. Write down the date you made the apology, and check your behaviour against the commitment every week for 2 months. The mistake: seeking reassurance that you have changed, rather than evidence. Why it happens: the discomfort of not knowing whether you have improved is difficult to sit with. What to do instead? Ask for specific feedback on observable behaviour, not for emotional reassurance. Have you noticed me doing X less? Is a useful question. Do you think I'm a better person now? Is not. The mistake: explaining the toxic behaviour's origins as a way to contextualise it. Why it happens: understanding why you developed a pattern can feel like permission to be patient with it. The people you harmed did not cause the original wound, and they should not carry the weight of your history. What to do instead? Keep your understanding of origins as a private, internal tool for self-compassion. It does not belong in the conversation with the people you have affected. For teams working through interpersonal damage, understanding how to give feedback that strengthens rather than breaks is a practical companion to this process. Your self-audit for toxic traits, a working checklist. Use this checklist with a specific pattern in mind. Run through it honestly. The questions that make you most uncomfortable are the ones most worth sitting with. Number 1. Have I received the same complaint, in different words, from more than one person? Name the complaint specifically. Number 2. Can I describe the behaviour in precise, observable terms, rather than a general character judgment? Number 3. Do I know what triggers the behaviour? Can I name the specific type of situation that reliably precedes it? Number 4. Have I gone back to the people most affected and made a direct and qualified apology? Number 5. Have I written down the specific replacement behaviour I will practice and identified the situations where I will need it? Number 6. Have I changed only one behaviour at a time, rather than attempting a wholesale personality revision? Number 7. Am I inviting feedback rather than waiting for people to volunteer it? Number 8. Has enough time passed for consistent behaviour to be observable? Have I stayed consistent during difficult moments, not just easy ones? If you can answer yes to all 8, you're working the process honestly. If you cannot, return to the step that produced the no and stay there until it shifts. What this work actually earns you. Let me tell you something I know from 6 decades of getting things wrong and slowly getting them less wrong. The people in your life are watching for consistency, not transformation. They are not waiting for you to become a different person. They are waiting to see whether the person you already are can be trusted again. That is a more achievable goal, and a more honest one. Toxic traits in yourself do not make you irredeemable. They make you human, with work to do. The process above is not a road to becoming someone else. It is a method for becoming a more reliable version of who you already are, someone whose patterns build connection instead of eroding it, and whose relationships get stronger over time instead of quietly, painfully thin. Do the work one step at a time. Do it consistently. That is all this takes, and it is enough. Frequently asked questions. What are toxic traits in yourself? Toxic traits in yourself are habitual behaviours or patterns that consistently cause harm to others or to your relationships. They include things like manipulation, defensiveness, chronic criticism, and dismissiveness. The key marker is repetition. These are not one-off mistakes, but patterns that keep appearing. How do you identify toxic traits in yourself? You identify toxic traits in yourself by paying close attention to recurring conflict patterns, feedback you dismiss, and moments where others seem to withdraw from you. A useful test is to ask whether the same complaint has come from more than one person in your life over time. Can you really change toxic traits in yourself? Yes, but it requires more than awareness. You need to understand what triggers the behaviour, practice specific replacement responses, and rebuild trust with people you've harmed. Change is gradual and must be demonstrated through consistent action, not through declarations of intent. How do you apologize for toxic behavior without making excuses? A credible apology names the specific behavior, acknowledges the harm it caused, and commits to a concrete change. It does not include explanations that minimize the impact. The script is simple: what you did, how it affected them, and what you will do differently. Why is it so hard to see toxic traits in yourself? It is hard because the behaviors often feel justified in the moment. Defensiveness feels like self-protection. Controlling behavior feels like competence. The emotional payoff of the pattern makes it invisible to you, even when it is obvious to everyone around you. How long does it take to change toxic traits? There is no fixed timeline, but meaningful change in observable behavior typically takes 3 to 6 months of deliberate practice. Trust from others takes longer to rebuild than the behavior takes to change. Consistency matters far more than speed. What is the difference between a bad day and a toxic trait? A bad day produces an isolated reaction. A toxic trait is a pattern that appears across different situations, relationships, and time periods. If you find yourself explaining the same behavior repeatedly to different people, it has crossed from isolated incident into a recognizable trait. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblickthorne.com to get your copy.